We're now recording.
Thank you, Ricardo. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is the DESA call on the 19th of January, 2012. On the call today, we have Mike O'Connor, Sarah Langdon-Hall, Andre Thompson, Rafik Damak, Olivier Crepin-Leblanc, Rossella Mattioli, Takaya Sumatsura, Bim de Gazelle, Katrina Sataki, Jim Galvin, Roy Ahrens, Jörg Schweiger, Jacques Latour, Don Blumenthal, and Greg Aaron. From staff, we have Bart Boschenko, Patrick Jones, and myself, Natalie Peregrine, and we have an apology from Julie Headland. I would like to remind you all to please state your names before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you, and over to you, Mikey.
Thank you, Natalie. Capital letters. Gad, what a jerk. Thanks, all, for joining. Just a quick operational note before we get underway. You will notice that the format of the mind map on the screen is a little bit different today, and that's because I am switching over to FreeMind, which is the open source version of the tool that I was using before. And so I apologize in advance if I spaz out really badly. I'm sort of 4 days into learning this tool, but the advantage of using this tool over the one I was using is that it's available at no charge, and so we aren't quite so constrained as to who can read and operate the maps. So if you would like to join the FreeMind conspiracy, I've put the latest versions of all of our mind maps, or at least most of our mind maps, up on the wiki in both the old format and the new, and there's a link on every page to the FreeMind site, so you can go off and download a copy for yourself, open these things, play with them, etc. And so that's just a quick operational transition. A quick note of thanks to Olivier for running the call last week. I actually thought the call went spectacularly better with the two of us doing it, and I think that Olivier is going to run the call next week so we can kind of compare. But we're back to all Mikey all the time this week. And just to replay the bidding, I went ahead and changed our table to summarize the results from the last call. And just for those of you who missed it, we had a pretty long discussion about my mistake, in which I had us evaluating likelihood when in fact we are evaluating relevance. And I won't replay all that bidding, but if you're confused by that and you want to visit a little bit after the call, I think it'll make sense to you as we go through the rest of this, but feel free to hang on the call a little bit and I'll replay of the conversation we had about that. But we are evaluating this a little bit differently. So if it feels odd to you, you're not crazy, and hang in there for a minute and I think it'll be okay. Where we left off is, just to put this in context, I want to show you sort of where we're at in the whole process. Right now, we're working on non-adversarial threat sources, and we have about, I don't know, 8 or 10 of them. You can see them there. And the one that we've been working on is configuration errors by privileged users. In there, we have about 5 or 6 that we've evaluated. So we've got a ways to go, even on non-adversarial threat sources. And then we get to the adversarial ones, which are the ones that are sort of flashier. So I just wanted to sort of remind us of the context of this conversation. Where we're at right now is in, oops, that wasn't what I intended to do, in configuration errors by privileged users, we've got these Highlighting things is going to be tricky. Let me try. There we go. We've got these that we've finished, and they're mostly, well, they're all about root zone files, where we got, where we stopped is basically the question that's been going on the list, and this is part of my secret conspiracy to answer this question, which is, what other kinds of files? We started with DNSSEC files, but what other pieces of the DNS should we include in this list? That's why I launched that conversation about the definitive list of stuff that's in the core registry services. So for a minute, what I'd like to do is just see if there are any more chunks of the infrastructure that we should include, or whether we should just stop at the root zone file. I'd like to refer you mentally back to that conversation we had on the list, where we were talking about, well, is EPP included? Is who is included? What's in, what's out? And I'm kind of looking to folks like Greg and Jim and some of you folks who've spent a lot of time in this arena to sort of help us with this part of the conversation. I see Roy is already jumping in, so I'll throw it over to you, Roy. Go ahead.
Thanks, Mikey. One of the lesser known things about DNS is that resolvers are equipped with a file called hints. And this is basically to tell resolvers where the root servers are. It's basically a bunch of IP addresses for the root zone. But it is a separate file, and these are distributed with resolver software. Eventually, they can become stale when software is not upgraded, and meanwhile, the root servers have moved to a new IP address. It's likely that the old IP address are still being queried by those resolvers that have not been updated. So it's a little part. It's not a big impact. If this is changed in a malicious way, then all bets are off. But it's basically a separate file from the root zone. Thanks.
Thanks, Roy. Maybe we do a little brainstorming and throw out a bunch of these and then argue about whether they're in or out. Any others that people feel are kind of comparable to the root zone and fit into that?
Yes, sorry, it's me again. there's yet another little known thing. It's called it's a zone file called root-servers.net, and this is the zone where all the root servers are listed, and the root servers have names like a.rootservers.net, B and C and D and so on and so on. These are actually hosted on a separate file called root-servers.net, which is under the net zone, which is again under the root zone. It can become a little complex, but just the fact that it's a separate file, I think it's an important aspect to mention. Thank you.
Okay. Anything else? Or shall we stop at root zone hints and rootservers.net? Kind of leaning towards Greg for some guidance on this. Greg, you want to chime in and sort of summarize the comments that you've been making on the list? I think they've been really helpful, and I think bringing them forward, this is a good time to do that.
Yeah, this is about the critical registry functions.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at this list that we've got now, this is essentially saying that there's one, for purposes of our discussion, we're really zeroed in on the root and essentially ancillary files that support it, like hints and rootservers.net. The question that I was framing out there on the list was, well, are there other things? Who is EPP? And basically, one of the distinctions that came to mind was the difference between the provisioning side of the DNS and the delivery side. And so, you know, I kind of lean on you, especially, for clarity on this. And,
okay. Well, in this case, it's we need to think of the root zone as being separate from a TLD zone. Okay, the root zone telling us where each TLD is located, basically. And then the root zones are the zones that are operated by each registry operator. Okay. What I was talking about were the critical functions of running a registry. Now, one of those is provisioning information back and forth between the registry and the registrar. Registrars put data in, they get responses back out, or they query and they get data back out. So ICANN, in its contracts, considers that a critical function, right? You can't really run a registry if you're not talking with your registrars. And that's how the registrars get name server and host and IP information in and out. EPP is one way to do it, but there are other ways. Then basically publishing the zone files, to summarize, is another critical function, okay? So the registry is authoritative for that. It's the only place it can be done. They have to disseminate the data. Okay, so that's the critical DNS function, basically. DNSSEC might be considered a subset of that. If you're going to do DNSSEC, you have to do it correctly, of course, and do it securely. But there's some registries that don't offer DS records and all that kind of thing right now. So that's why I was saying don't list DNSSEC specifically as a must-have.
Right, but you'd agree that the provisioning information is a must-have, right?
The provisioning function, not the provision. Yeah, that's the function that's critical. All right. So that now, again, Mikey, that's registrars putting data in and querying data back out. That's one function.
Right.
Separate but related is the registry publishing the zone files.
Yeah, and I'm thinking that that's what this is, the major zones, minor zones. Now, are you thinking in terms of zone file access, the sidebar publishing that...
No, zone file access is something very different. That's
yeah, okay.
A term of art, so to speak.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's just, you know, whoever wants a zone file, they can acquire it, and that's done in the gTLDs as a requirement, but most ccTLDs don't offer subscription.
Right. So if we were to, I'm thinking that I might just pick the hints and root server, if I can figure out how, put them in DNS critical port file, which I would like to be able to drag in, but not be able to. Oh, there we go. Ha! And then treat them as one thing. Roy, is that okay if I do that?
That's okay, thanks.
Okay. And then we'd have one more addition, because remember, this is all about configuration errors by privileged users, so we'd have one more kind, which is, I'm going to stay with information. I could see turning that. Shall we call it functions or systems, Craig?
Um,
I want something we can misconfigure. So it fits with
systems.
Our
own. Yeah. Systems.
Let's call it systems for now. We can always fix it. Okay.
I think what you're talking about, Mikey, is a registry secure? That gets into the area: is a registry system secure or not? Can unauthorized parties get into it, for example?
Well, no, that's a different one. An unauthorized one is going to be in our adversarial threat sources. This is really a mistake by a user that has the privileges to do this. They just screw up and misconfigure it.
Well, are you talking about a screw up by the registry operator?
Well, either side, it seems to me. In the provisioning system.
In a provisioning system, I mean, a provisioning system is dumb in that whatever a registrar puts into it, that's what it does. Now, a mistake might be, I accidentally deleted the wrong domain name, but that would seem to fall beneath our minimum kind of a threat level we're trying to think about. So
this is primarily provisioning let's narrow this to a registry administrator. Misconfigures. That's kind of a lame language, but it kind of captures the thought, which is that this is primarily at the this is only at the registry, correct?
Yeah, we're not talking about the root itself.
Right. Okay. Any others for the? Oh, Jörg has got his hand up. Go ahead, Jörg.
Yeah, thanks, Mikey, for the transcript. Sorry, I'm not completely into getting it. What we are talking with this last point, it may be that I'm just on the wrong track, and we're going to relevate it with accordance to giving it a low significance by saying that the relevance is just not there. But I would really look forward to anybody who would give me an example where a misconfiguration of, say, an EPP client could force anything that could really damage or harm the DNS, and that's what we are talking about. I would suppose that if a misconfiguration would take place, well, in this case, two things might happen. First thing, the EPP client might not get a connection to the registry system, wouldn't harm the DNS. Second, we would transfer wrong information concerning a contact information or a domain information. Well, no damage for the DNS. So I'm not really figuring out why we're discussing this.
Well, I think that what we want to do is capture this and then capture your thoughts in the discussion of range.
Opting
of
out it with relevance? Like,
well, both, I think. Range of impact and relevance. You know, it may be that they're very low, but I think at the same time what we're trying to do here is document these things so that others who follow us can say, oh, yeah, that's right, there is that thing, and then argue with us about our decisions about whether it's relevant and whether it's got a very broad range of impact. But I think it's legitimate to put it in, if nothing else than to dismiss it as a trivial or unlikely sort of thing later. But the reason that I'm working this so hard is because I think we're going to see these threat events, this list that's opened up again and again, and I want to make sure that we've got a complete list. Jim, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Mikey. I didn't want to comment on that. I wanted to say something else. So did you still want me to go?
Jorg, are you okay if we keep it on the list and just dismiss it in our evaluation?
I'm not sure whether this is going to lead us to something that is really absolutely good for the result of what we are doing, because in that case, we do have to consider DNSSEC, for example. We might want to look at TSIC errors. We might want to look at SSL errors and so forth. I'm just not sure whether this is going to go into the right direction or not, but I'm just going to observe and see what is going to happen.
So,
go on, James.
I mean, we can always, you know, it's easy to eliminate things. It's hard to reinvent them 6 months down the line when we go, oh, we should have put that in. So I'd rather have too many things.
It will divert us, and it's going to make a lot of work associated with it, and it's diverting us from the real stuff. And we might end up with 100 a report of 100 pages or something like that, where the really essential information is just on 10 sites.
Yeah, but I think we finished that. I think we fixed that later. I don't think that we're that far off.
I trust in you. I trust in you, Mikey.
Oh, thanks. Okay, Jim, go ahead.
I just wanted to go back to the line item you have about excuse me. So this is Jim Galvin for the recording. I wanted to go back to the line item critical DNS support files. I wondered if it might be appropriate to put a little more detail in there so we know what we're talking about. You have those two. I also added in the chat room over there talking about the resolver configuration file, because certainly that could be used maliciously to redirect forwarding in the same way that one could maliciously adjust the hints file. And we also have a reference to the trust anchor file. Certainly we have the root's public key that is probably configured at individual resolvers. No, those are all part of critical DNS support files.
This is Mikey spazzing out in spades because I can't figure out why I couldn't just add it right under there. So I'm adding them where I can, and then I'll I'll figure out what I'm doing wrong. So what was the first one that you mentioned, Jim? I was so busy.
Resolver configuration files. So we should include those in our discussion at some point when we want to get more into this. All of those things should be talked about together as we decide whether or not they're critical or not.
Right. Now, are we thinking that all of these are similar enough that we can evaluate them in one blob, or should we split them apart and evaluate them in terms of their range of impact and their relevance? Should we do them together like this, or should we do them separately?
Well, I'm okay with them like this for right now, but if you want to have a discussion about it, let's see what other people think.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm okay putting them together, but I don't want to accidentally sweep a bunch of things into one pile that shouldn't be. But we'll leave it that way for now, and then if somebody feels uncomfortable with it, we'll split them apart. Okay, any more for this sort of, again, this is configuration errors by privileged user. Will give us enough to do for the rest of the call, so I'm fine stopping here. And then attempting, in my lame way, put these two, Ethan. So far, so good. This is what I don't understand. But there you go. All right. So it's voting time, people. Oh, let's go back and tidy this one up. This is one I typed sort of on the fly. that sort of triggered a bit of a discussion that we never finished. So right click. What do we want to do with DNS? Jim, is that an old hand or a new one? You or Greg want to help us out with the DNSSEC part of this? This is, again, the administrator misconfigures a threat event. Is this one that we want to leave in?
Was this added last week? Or
it stuck in a couple, 3 weeks ago, and it was right at the end of a call, and so I just typed it in as a kind of a reminder to us to say, what is this critter, and what are we going to do about it? So we could easily take it out if people want to. It just came up right at the end of the call. Greg?
Well, don't remember it being added. I mean, I could invent something here, but if somebody remembers it being added and has something they want to say, maybe we should give them a chance to speak first.
Yeah. Greg?
Hi, it's Greg. A major DNS provider might be somebody like Dyn DNS or Google or Ultra DNS or Afilia, who often manage DNS services. They're, in other words, not a registry operator or a root operator, but somebody else who does DNS services. And they do have, you know, a lot of major customers. A lot of your major websites use them. But if they have some sort of a misconfiguration or problem, it may only affect all to some of their particular customers. So I think the question for us is that rise to our minimum threshold? That seems to be more of a provider or localized problem.
Yeah, I could live with that review. How do other people feel about that? Not hearing any howls of protest. Why don't we take that?
Yeah, so this is Jim. So the issue that we're driving at here is just that you have someone who serves a large community, and if that provider has issues, then it really just depends on what we define major as. So that becomes part of the discussion that we ultimately have to have. You're relevant if you're major, because then you affect a greater user community. Is that the point we're trying to make here?
Yeah, I think that is part of the deal.
You know, and I don't know how much of the internet or how many of the websites specifically any one of those providers, the biggest providers, serve. Yeah, it's not unusual for a really big site like Amazon or Facebook or somebody to use one of these. But is the failure of Facebook big enough? To me, it doesn't seem so. And even if the managed DNS provider has some sort of a problem, I don't know if that site would stop resolving.
What about VeriSign?
They're a managed DNS provider also. But only for certain customers, like the others.
Yeah, so we could even put VeriSign in our list of example providers, right?
Yeah.
But what if VeriSign, isn't VeriSign the DNSSEC provider for the .com zone too?
Those are separate services.
Yeah.
Serving the .com zone is separate from the managed DNS services they offer to specific corporate customers.
So should we reword this to talk about the DNSSEC that serves a major zone?
So this is Mark. I feel like compelled. I need to jump in here. So with managed DNS, VeriSign is a really small player in this. It's actually Afilias that has a much larger – no, I'm sorry, not Afilias. It's Neustar that has a much larger customer set with their Ultra DNS product. So it's a matter of what you want to – the whole idea of going major, minor starts going down to a rat hole really quickly, especially when you deal with managed DNS.
So what if we didn't go after the providers, but rather went after the DNSSEC that supports, say, the .com zone? If and when it gets, I can't remember, is .com signed now?
Yes, it is. So
it is, but then don't single out .com. I mean, then you're talking about, you know, TLDs that are signed. I mean, you might as well speak to it more generally.
Right.
Because now we're getting to this question that we've had before. I mean, there are certain countries that are really, really small in the scope of the larger Internet. So what if the country goes offline? In the scope of that country, I mean, it's just a huge crisis, right?
Yeah.
So, and this, I think, I have to agree with Mark here. I mean, this is where this rat hole pops up. The same thing with DNS providers in general. I think that major providers are providing services for major companies, okay? Facebook is probably a good example because different people have different opinions about whether social media is important or not. I'm sure that the tens of millions of Facebook users would care a great deal if Facebook went down because their DNS provider went down. On the other hand, from the grand scheme of the Internet in general, how important is it really?
Yeah.
And I think these are tough things to document and talk about. We have to find the principles that we're trying to speak to here and not try to focus on examples, because the examples are like analogies. They're never going to cover everything you want.
So I'm going to put two in, so that we can make that distinction, and then what we can do is we can maybe give these different... So let's say that to capture that difference, we have this one, which is a provider, and then we have the DNSSEC for a zone, TLD zone. Does that capture the distinction that we're trying to make here? Then we can go off on range of impact and relevance and do our damage over there. How about that?
Well, I guess the other distinction that came out of talking about a provider is talking about large corporations or businesses. Not sure what word we want to use here, but
I think large corporations. Oops. Say large businesses. That work? Sounds close enough. Is all highly repairable. Okay, it's voting time, people. We're going to start with that one that we just talked about. And we're going to vote range and relevance. So first, I've recruited Natalie to be the manager of the voting so that I'm not quite so lame on that. So the first thing we're going to vote on is the range of impact of a major DNSSEC provider. And but this is a third party provider, not the DNSSEC for an actual zone file. So go ahead and use the scale on the screen. Just like you're doing fine. And we'll sort of push the pace along here for now and see if we can get done with all of these before the end of the call. We should be able to make that. So it's looking like there's a few in the middle, sort of in the five-ish zone. Whoop, damn it. New subzone. Where's the new child zone? Looks like a 5 for that. Got to figure out a keyboard shortcut for that. Going once, going twice, everybody voted? Okay, so Natalie, you can clear the votes on that one. Now we'll do the same thing on relevance. This is the one, has it been seen? Has it been seen by somebody else? Has it been reported by a trusted source? Is this, you know, predicted? Is it possible, et cetera? So go ahead and vote on that one. Oh, Patrick's come in. There we go. Oh, don't take my highlighting as any kind of a hint. So then, again, this is the one where somebody misconfigures their DNSSEC. Woo, got 8. Okay. Anybody? 9. We're up to 9. Any more? 10. Going once, going twice. 10. Okay. Natalie, you can clear that one. Oop. Hey, look at that. All right, so now we're doing the DNSSEC for a TLD zone. Same questions, range of impact, sweeping to not so sweeping is the one we're on right now. So if, just to pick on VeriSign, if somebody in VeriSign misconfigured the DNSSEC for VeriSign, what would the impact be? And people are starting to vote, sort of up in the extensive wide-ranging zone right now.
Well, just to be clear here, you're not asking us to vote specifically about VeriSign.
Right.
You're just using that as an example for the concept, right?
Yes. Yes. It could be .nz. It could be .au. Anything. Okay. I see 10 total. Going once, going twice. Okay, 3 and 7. Okay, Natalie, we can clear that one and go on to the relevance one. Whoop. Where we're talking about whether it's been seen all the way down to described by a credible source or not even applicable. we're getting there. Looks like 8s and 5s is what we're producing. Go with 3 and 7. Okay, that was done. Natalie, you can clear the results on that, and we'll do the relevance. Oop, dang it. This is the one where have we seen these files misconfigured. Let me get them back up on the screen again. Anticipated as possible, you know, that list.
So this is Jim Galvin. It's interesting. This is probably the spot where if I were going to split those files, this is where I would split them.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not going to ask that we split them. I raise that and see if anyone else jumps in and wants to do it. Otherwise, I think we'd leave it alone for now. There's going to be plenty of time to expand on this as we get to writing text.
Yeah. Okay, we'll leave them together and then see if we want to split them later. Oh, it's looking pretty anticipated. Okay. Okay, we got 8 for that, and for that, 2 for that. Right then. Okay, moving right along. Oops, this is the provisioning one that we just added. Again, a registry operator has misconfigured the provisioning systems between registries and registrars. EPP is one example. Range of impact. That was interesting. I bet you can't see my screen anymore. Just had one of those network fail things on my Adobe Connect session. Sorry about that. Anyway, we're still on range of impact. Go ahead and vote on what you think the range of impact would be if registry misconfigured their EPP systems, presumably so that registrars couldn't use it. I think that's presumably that means that registrars couldn't add or remove zones from a TLD. Add that to the description. Votes are up to a total of 8, 9, 10. That's pretty close. Looks like we're in 3 and 5 zone here. So start recording that. we're way down. I've completely screwed us up. Sorry, I have to do this all over again. But we're doing range, not relevance. There is no option for zero. So for those of you who are voting zero, can I give you a one? Can I combine the zeros and ones that you voted? I'm going to go ahead and do that. So more people think that it's a limited impact, and six people think it's minimal. Just make sure that if you voted zero, you're okay with that. And if it's okay, we'll keep going. Sorry, I goofed up. Okay. Natalie, I think we can clear the poll and go on to the relevance one. This is, again, where we've seen it. Is it something we've seen, and or is it something that's purely possible or somewhere in the middle?